Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Florida is where woke goes to die. And this podcast is where your IQ points go straight to hell. Hi, boys and girls. You're listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. This is your co-host, Joel No Wave Cheeseman.
And this is Chad Pink Splash Soash.
On this week's show, LinkedIn gets high Q as a kite, beekeeper finds the honeypot, and New York salary transparency law is off to a rocky start. Forget about it. Let's do this.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. Wave. That's the first. Or what was it you said?
Pink Splash. So Stephen.
Pink Splash.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert actually said the red wave was actually a pink splash, kind of like when Republicans accidentally washed their Klan robes with their MAGA hats.
Was that what Colbert said, or is that a Soash original?
No, that was Colbert. That was very great.
That was good.
I mean, I got to say, I would love to see more balanced politics in the U.S., but it's hard to ask for balance when one party is full of election deniers, racist, and Jewish space laser enthusiasts. It's really hard these days.
Best news is Trump may be done. I'm probably saying that a little bit early. He has a big announcement on Tuesday, which I'm sure we'll talk about on the show as well. But his candidates got smacked around. The party is not happy with him, from what I understand. DeSantis totally cleaned up in Florida. If it means the end of Trump, so be it.
Yeah, the hardest part is you have a
You have a Trump lackey who's a hell of a lot smarter than Trump is. I mean, DeSantis is an incredibly smart dude. I mean, imagine Trump was the president for 4 years. Imagine if he had half a brain, the shit that he could have wrecked. All the shit that he already did wreck, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm just sort of looking at it, you know, non-politically, I know the Dems are really happy about the result, but, you know, they may have gotten rid of Trump and gotten DeSantis in return. I'm not sure that's something that you would prefer to have happen. And you're probably more likely to have Biden run again, which I'm not sure a lot of people on either side of the aisle wants to see happen. So it'll be an interesting 2 years.
It will. Very.
It's getting kind of hectic. You'll be on a beach in Portugal, mm-hmm. and you know, who cares?
Who cares?
Well, let's get to shout outs.
Okay.
Aside from the election,
I gotta start out with something fresh right out of the oven. I mean, literally,
bring it.
This hasn't been dropped yet. So it looks like iSims is looking to make a big, big move as Steve Lucas steps down from the CEO position. And sources tell me that Brian Provost will be the successor. Brian's company, Accentus, was just purchased by UKG earlier this year. And prior to that, in 2014, he was the CEO of Convey Compliance, which was acquired by, guess who, Joel?
I don't know.
Vista Equity Partners.
Vista.
Yeah. So bringing your boy in is what it sounds like right now. It's kind of interesting because you're going to be at iSims next week. So the timing's kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it's a volatile time at iSims. We've talked about, you know, a lot of longstanding employees leaving. Obviously, there was a failed IPO, whether that's market forces or just the business itself. Steve came in with a lot of hype, you know, with his Marketo background and marketing and some big acquisitions that we've talked about on the show that we've been very complimentary of. And now it sounds like Steve is out the door. So now they're having their annual event. Lots of speakers, lots of people we know. I've been invited to come out. I'm going to have the mics handy. So I should have some good content for my Sims, but it sounds like a lot of big things going on. That's a big deal. CEO leaving a company is not a little thing. And companies that are crushing it usually don't have their CEO leave. So hopefully we'll get some answers around all these questions circling iSims.
It is a very interesting time. I think you could look at it two different ways. Obviously, have the new CEO come in, start to meet a lot of the analysts, a lot of the big clients. I mean, there are tons of different ways to spin this. But I think really at the end of the day, this is Vista's call. Obviously, Vista wants to make shit happen. And who knows? Maybe, you know, Steve is going to go to another Vista company down the road, take a little sabbatical, go to another Vista company. You know how that shit works. I mean, it's all just pieces on a board.
Yeah. And it's another story of someone that doesn't have the core competencies in our business coming in and trying to, you know, sort of put their spin on what they think we should be doing and ending up in an exodus. There's something to be said for people that take over companies that have actually done some of this stuff and have sold to these customers. That holds firm.
Experience counts.
Well, shout out for me a little on the lighter side. Mine goes to Matt Shaver, if that's really his last name, the Cleveland, Ohio-based comedian. He went viral this week on TikTok after creating a parody video impersonating a Twitter employee getting fired via email. He made up a fictional HR lady and a GIF on the email of Elon saying, quote, "Time to leave the nest, you're fired," end quote. The parody was so good, he had lawyers replying they wanted to represent him against the company. In response, Shaver said, quote, "I'm not surprised it went viral. I'm surprised that so many people believed it." Of course, it's mostly believable because Elon's mostly a jackass. Shout out to Matt Shaver of beautiful, scenic Cleveland, Ohio.
Scenic. Very scenic. Big shout out to Ling Wu for promoting the brand spanking new German version of the Chad and Cheese podcast to all of her German peeps, in German, by the way, on LinkedIn. It's still incredibly surreal to me that Veritone could clone our voices. And the next thing you know, we're speaking German, Spanish, French, and Portuguese. I kind of feel like a kid watching a sci-fi movie in the 80s.
Yeah, that's an apocalyptic science fiction movie, by the way, my friend.
Terminator.
And I forget who said, but someone said, we're more appropriate in German. Our angry demeanor comes over better in German anyway. So I expect us to be huge stars in Germany.
But I tell you what, Matt Alder also said that listening to
that British guy
to you speak French is amusing. And what I'm going to get, go ahead and hit the sexy sax if you have it there. by amusing, I think he means drawing a hot bath, putting on some Luther Vandross, and having a soak.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That is Scottish for dead sexy,
yes.
I think, in Matt Alder's mother
amusing.
Tongue there. Shout out to the job board doctor. The guy we know and love is Jeff Dickey Chasins. He's got a survey that he does every year of job board owners. Apparently, there are still enough job board owners to make this a statistically significant data set. Surprise to me, I'm sure it is to you. A couple highlights from the survey. Number one, duration-based job postings still make up over 50% of revenue for job boards. And number two, takeaway, 81% are either very or somewhat optimistic about their site's opportunities in the next 12 months. Recession be damned. The job boards are pumped. Shout out to the job board doctor and his survey.
Job boards still got money coming in. Still got the monies.
And speaking of money, we're not yet giving money away, Chad, but we are giving away some pretty good shit on the website. If you haven't signed up at chadcheese.com, click the free link or just go to /free. We're talking whiskey from TexKernel. We're talking beer from our friends at Aspen Tech Labs. We're talking t-shirts from JobGet. And we're talking rum with Plum if it's your birthday month, a shot at getting that. Tons of free shit. You got to sign up to get it, though. And while you're doing that, leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. We love reviews. We love those stars, whether they're one or five. It's our oxygen. It's how we get better. And I don't think that we have enough reviews. So please do that if you get a chance while you're signing up for free shit.
Review us in German, Portuguese, Spanish, or French as well. I mean, that'll work.
There you go. Everyone at Jobigo, whatever it is, that's our amigos in German. So make sure that they get out there and review
our
us.
Amigos. Okay, so we're going to slide into events. We talked a little bit about what you're doing next week. I have to go back to last week because the Web Summit was ridiculous in Lisbon. 70,000 plus attendees, 5 pavilions, at least 3 stages per pavilion, and more startups than you can imagine. And they change those startups out every day. This is a 3-day event. The speaker's lounge was larger than most expo halls that we see in any HR expo conference in our space. The speaker's lounge. They had chefs. They had wine and champagne. And this is all thanks to our friend Keith Sonderling, the EEOC commissioner that's over there, for inviting Julie and me. This was literally at another level. I understand it's tech in the broad scope, so it was tech everything. We saw recruitment tech there. We saw eco tech. We saw, obviously, you know, the metaverse types of tech. Everything that you can think of. So it was very broad. So it was big. But my God, it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and I love you mentioned this last week, how they swap out the vendors every day. So I love that you have sort of one day to get your vendor on, your startups. Yeah, I think that's really cool. And by the way, the pictures of the lounge that you shared, you'd have to like drag me out of there to do a presentation or do an interview, because that shit looked dope. That shit looked dope.
Yes, yes. And when you have a chef that's sitting there and they're fixing things up and they got the little squirt bottles and they're doing the little thing and then they present it to you, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, you remember the little baguettes in Paris, yes. Right? The little chocolate filled. How hard was it to get me out of the table from those things? That'd be the same thing. Yeah, heading to Santa Monica, California next week.
Nice.
Our friend Tyler Weeks, big fan of the show. Shout out to him. He has agreed to wear a Chad and Cheese T-shirt on stage when he presents next week.
That's what I'm talking about.
Big ups to our boy Tyler.
My man.
Always good to see him. And unfortunately, Stephen McGrath, our favorite you-know-what.
Welcome to all things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Stephen will not be there, which means my liver gets a pass on this one. Oh, thank God. But we will be missing Stephen big time.
That's no shit.
Also, who will be missing, some people with birthdays. We'll be missing some cake, I guess, on this one. But a few fans are celebrating another trip around the sun this week. And you remember, Rum with Plum. If it's your birthday month, there's a chance to win. Our friend Mason Wong won for this month, and he's enjoying a nice bottle of rum.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to Plum. But also celebrating a birthday this week.
Happy birthday!
Jennifer Rivalli, good friend of the show. Jamie Carney, Charles Hellman, Mike Vogel, and today as we record this, our friend Julie Kelly celebrates a birthday. And by the way, if you haven't checked out our latest interview, Future Jerks with Indeed, or by Indeed, make sure you check that out. Julie was actually at the event, has some super insight. Is a great conversation. If you haven't listened to that, make sure you go back into the archives.
Yeah, we did say T-shirts by JobGet, right? Because those things are they're like a hug from Chad and Cheese.
JobGet's getting some free promo at the iSims event with Tyler Weeks and me wearing T-shirts.
So don't forget birthdays sponsored by Plum. That's plum.io. Get out there and take your plum. Is that what the kids say now these days? Take your plum.
Get your plum.
It
sounds like something grandma might have said back in the day. Mm. Her what does it makes you regular? The something juice. Prune juice. That's it. Prune and plums. That sounds like a snack made in heaven. All right, week 9 of fantasy football is in the books, everybody. Our friends at Factory Fix are nice enough to support our bad habits that we enjoy every Sunday here in the States. Here's the leaderboard from number 1 to the cellar. Number 1, we got Chris, come on, Mannion at number 1. Serge Gretzky-Boudreau, number 2. Matt Sugarhill Gang, Dennis Rodman-Tupper, Smokin' Joe Wilkie, Republic of Chad Sowash, Joel, it's all Gouda Cheeseman, Chris Christie Kelling, Jason Statham Putnam, Mike Huckabee Schaefer, James Bond Gilliam, Oh Danny Boy Shoemaker, round out the 12 players in fantasy football with Chad Cheese. And we're about halfway. Well, we're halfway through the season now, getting close to the end. It's been a fun trip. You and I are right there in the middle, hoping to get up to the top. The final four will be in the playoffs, so you got to be in one of those four spots to make it happen.
Topics!
All right. Stop me if you've heard this one before. The legal fight that's about as old as this podcast may finally be coming to a close. LinkedIn last Friday announced a win in a 6-year lawsuit against HiQ Labs Incorporated, a now dormant company that had scraped LinkedIn data. Quick refresher, HiQ was scraping LinkedIn profile data to analyze and predict the retention risk for employees. LinkedIn issued a cease and desist letter to HiQ and a bunch of similar companies back in 2017. HiQ, which was founded in 2012, went dormant in 2019 after being unable to find further investors, shocker, and the loss of major clients, according to court records. The case isn't officially over, however. It's still set for trial because the central question it raised, whether HiQ's action violated a federal anti-hacking law, remains unresolved. Who's paying the legal bills at this point? Who knows? Does anyone still care? Chad, what's your take on this never-ending saga?
Well, it seems like, at least from these reports, that LinkedIn succeeded in diverting the real issue. They obviously presented evidence specific to how HiQ was extracting data, and the focus of the trial should not have been on the how, but the bigger question, who? Who does the data belong to? Is my data on LinkedIn mine? And focusing on the method instead of the bigger overarching question, the court has created a precedent that might be hard to overturn. Not that it can't be, but it might be hard. Now, think of this though. What is the impact for startups? Indeed scrapes, Google scrapes, but they are past the point where, you know, companies are rebelling against them. Nobody wants to push away Indeed and Google. But what would have happened if this was enacted back in the day when Indeed was just a little baby aggregator, right? So this could be a problem. How's this going to impact companies that could prospectively be more innovative? Not to mention, who does the data belong to? In this case, they're saying it belongs to LinkedIn. It belongs to the actual vendor, not us.
Look, this is America, Jack. And we may love a good underdog story, but the overdog is king in the legal system. LinkedIn did exactly what they wanted to do. Use our resources to smother this smart mouth startup into oblivion, and that's exactly what happened. HiQ is out of business, its investors are burned, and its customers are back to paying out the nose for, you guessed it, LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. God bless America. So where do we go from here? Well, number one, status quo. LinkedIn stays the 800-pound gorilla. Number two, King Kong gets a Godzilla. Maybe Indeed or Slack or Twitter or Google or whoever you want to put in there might enter the picture and become a competitor. Or number three, something totally new takes over. Whispers of blockchain, for example, are being floated around. And our own homeboy, Sir Richard Collins, has just launched CV Wallet to possibly try and do just that. My guess, at least for the next decade or so, LinkedIn stands alone. King Kong ain't got shit on LinkedIn. End of story.
Yeah. It's interesting because the de facto resume for many nowadays is just send me your LinkedIn. That's what people are using. And talking about Richard and Beverly and what they're doing with CV Wallet is something that, you know, should have been done a long time ago. The only problem is I don't think the tech was available to be able to do that. So I think we're going to see some new products pop up. The question is traction, right? And being able to thwart the huge fucking monstrosity we know as LinkedIn.
Yeah. I mean, the economy is a scale. And if LinkedIn was just, hey, here's your profile page and that's it, like it used to be, sort of like, remember MySpace when it was just, hey, here's my online profile, and the only thing you really did was check out new bands or adjust your top 9 friends or how many top friends you had. I mean, LinkedIn has this, you know, economies of scale, everyone's on it, network effects, they got the dopa hit when you post something, people like it, people share it, the community's there. If it were just, hey, it's a resume, I'd say it could be dethroned. And I think the idea of having like a resume in your Apple wallet or your Android wallet is really appealing, but it has none of that other stuff, right? It's not a B2B sales channel, it's not a dopa hit. Like if blockchain can solve that sort of, or bridge that gap, I think there's something there. But otherwise, I see nothing on the horizon that's going to dethrone LinkedIn.
Well, and it's interesting too, because the malice now toward Facebook and Twitter, Zuckerberg and fucking Elon Musk, there are more people that are flocking to LinkedIn for more social interaction than they have been with Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. You joined what, Mastodon this week?
Yes.
That's the Twitter killer. How was that? What was your take on Mastodon?
It feels like a mom and pop shop, to be quite frank. Sometimes the servers are slow. I mean, you have to pick the server that you want to be on, which is kind of weird. It is definitely different, but it's worth checking out. I think I have maybe 5 people I connected with on Mastodon. That's about where I'm at right now.
Yeah. As much as I love the fact that you can actually edit your tweets or whatever, Mastodons or whatever they're calling it. I don't think, like, I'm too old and I've built like too much on these I guess old in quotes social channels to like go try and build a new one. I just don't have the energy or the care. Like you're on TikTok and you're doing stuff on TikTok. Yep. Like I don't have the energy. I'm too busy looking at you know what I look at.
Big booty Latinas and bug fights. Yes.
That's right. And speaking of bug fights, let's talk about Beekeeper. Damn, that's a good segue. The 10-year-old Zurich, Switzerland-based startup that connects the non-desk or deskless workforce to operational systems and communication channels has raised $50 million in a Series C funding round. This brings total funding to $146.5 million. The company intends to use the funds to continue to invest in product and development and establish its leadership in the frontline success category. Since 2020, Beekeeper has seen growth with thousands of frontline business locations now using the platform in more than 150 countries. Deskless, it's a thing, Chad. What's your take on Beekeeper?
So Beekeeper was founded in 2011. It took a pandemic for this segment to explode. It took the great resignation for employers to understand how important this segment is. Think of how disconnected some of those employees felt, how little control or influence they actually had as well. And then employers were like, wait a minute, this could actually make employees' day better, which means we might be able to retain them. Not to mention, we might be able to provide some efficiencies that are in there. Oh, wait a minute, this might be good for business. It takes a goddamn pandemic for companies to start to understand this and for a platform that made sense the entire time to actually gain traction. I mean, humans are just fucking stupid. Anyway, Beekeeper revenue raised 100%, aka double during the pandemic. They just opened a marketplace in June of this year. So they, much like we've seen with applicant tracking systems and core talent platforms, this is a great way for an organization to not have to build or buy. They partner until they actually get to the point where they can start buying shit. But I mean, overall, I think to me, this is something that has been long, long overdue.
Yes, Your Honor, it's true. This man has no desk. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. A little Ghostbusters reference. I gave a mobile presentation back in the early 2010s, and one of the slides that I had in my presentation was eBay, who had actually built an intranet app for the iPhone and Android, so their employees could go on this app and get everything on the intranet on the go. Right, it was a cute little idea, but it was very cool, and you could see like where this thing could go for a single enterprise. Mm-hmm. What Beekeeper did was let's take the idea and give it to an entire company. And what was a cute idea, really way ahead of its time in 2012, the world is caught up with Beekeeper, and now it's like, oh, they've been doing that for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They're super entrenched. They've grown organically. Their client list is just jaw-dropping, especially for a little company in Zurich, Switzerland that's made inroads like this. The world has come to them. I love these stories where these companies grow organically. It's a good idea. And just over time, what was way ahead of the curve has finally come to roost, to fruition. Beekeeper is a great success story. I love these stories versus the ones that's like, oh, they launched 3 years ago. They're $1 billion valuation. They've hired 1 million people in 12 months. Like, I love these like grow organically stories that the world catches up to them, and they had a good idea that came to fruition a decade later. Sometimes good things come to those who wait and do the good work and put in the time. Congratulations, Beekeeper.
Something to be said about discipline and patience and being able to actually put a business plan together that is not high on burn.
And imagine a company in Switzerland being...
It's like clockwork.
Being so rigidly committed to a vision and seeing
like clockwork.
It German, Austrian, Swiss DNA. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Hold up. Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
Slip it in, Chad. Ooh. Our new segment. We introduced it last week. We got some stuff we want to slip into the show here that is sort of unofficial news. What you got?
Julie was like, leave it to you and Joel to sexualize everything. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We're just slipping in some news. I don't understand.
Hey, if her mind's in the gutter, that's not our fault.
That's what I said. That's
not our fault. So Twitter, Meta, all kinds of stuff. Meta 11,000 layoffs, letter from Zuck.
Jeez.
Which I'll give him some credit. It was sort of humble pie. You know, we got ahead of our skis.
He's learning.
I feel bad. Now they hired 40,000 people during the pandemic, apparently.
Yes.
They hoarded talent. Mm-hmm. This is a small fraction of the 40,000 that they hired.
Exactly.
I suspect there'll be more.
Yes.
Layoffs as we go on. But yeah, tough times at Meta continue.
Amazing. Yeah, I got to say that this, with Elon's antics that are out there, I mean, he used to look like the smartest man on the planet. Now he looks like the goddamn village idiot. With him making those stupid moves, guys like Zuck, who literally was, I mean, he was framed as the enemy and the bad guy forever. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he can do these things and he looks like the adult in the room.
Elon is now the cloud cover for Zuckerberg. Zuck cannot be happier to have Elon in the social media
space.
But yeah, we've got, so 50% layoffs at Twitter. Apparently they're hiring people back that he fired because he realized, oh, we need those people to do some of these things that we needed to
train
do.
Train wreck.
He killed the whole work from home thing. Mm-hmm. Remember, Twitter was like, we're 100% forever, yeah, work from home. Elon said, psych, get your ass back in the office. He's fighting with AOC on Twitter, which is kind of hysterical.
He blocked her.
Yeah, Mr. Free Speech. Mr. Free Speech blocks a congresswoman. Does he let Trump back on the platform? Maybe that's the big announcement.
No.
On Tuesday. I don't know.
No.
It's crazy. I also wanted to slip in there, a company called Island is doing enterprise web browsers for companies. So you got a mobile workforce, they work from home. Do you really want them on Chrome? Do you want them on Safari? Do you want them on, you know, Firefox, where they can kind of get into trouble? These guys are making a corporate web browser for security reasons, for monitoring, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. They just got $60 million or $1.5 billion valuation. I think it's a cool idea. No one, you know, the fact that no one's thought of it. I thought I'd slip it in to this segment that Island doing enterprise browsers is kind of cool.
You did a double slip in there. Just so the listeners can hear that. You did the double slip.
I did
slip
a double
in.
D on that one, didn't
yeah.
I? I did a double. All right. Speaking of slipping it in and double Ds, let's talk about New York City.
New York City?
Listeners will remember that New York City's salary transparency law went into effect earlier this month, and I'm absolutely shocked, Chad. It hasn't gone as smoothly as planned. As numbers started rolling out this week, New Yorkers began calling out some companies for posting extremely broad salary ranges, $50,000 to $145,000 for a reporter opening, $125,000 to $211,000 for a senior technical writer, and $106,000 to $241,000 for a general counsel position. In one case, Citigroup listed several jobs with a salary range of 0 to 2 million. I think we both predicted that was going to happen, although none of us said zero. I think it was $1 to million. Anyway, some companies just stopped posting altogether. Chad, I'm sure you're shocked that this is happening. Employers are testing the limits of the law. Imagine that. What's your take on the rocky start to New York City's salary range transparency law?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're going to break some eggs. It's what's going to happen. You're not going to get it right out of the gate. I mean, again, this is a shot over the bow. And for companies to start doing this and to start playing these games, they, again, demonstrate that they really don't give two shits about the job seekers that are out there. I mean, seriously, from 0 to 2 million, give me a fucking break. They said it was a glitch. They said it was a glitch.
Yeah.
But then they went back and there was like another $100,000, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. That's not a glitch. That's just us being dumbasses. I think what's going to happen is you're going to start to see individuals who spy this out, and they start kicking it over to New York City officials. As soon as that starts happening, as soon as the enforcement starts happening, that's when it's over. Obviously, yep, there'll be court cases. That's where this is going. It's got to go to court. Welcome to America. Attorneys get rich, yep, and all this other bullshit, when really all the employers have to do is be transparent with the people that they want to bring in. This, to me, is incredibly foolish. It's very Elon Musk-like. You can say shame on you, but they don't give a shit, man. They just don't care.
Yeah. What is it? Show me a 10-foot wall and I'll show you an 11-foot ladder.
Yeah.
That tends to be the default for most Americans. You see, you talk about lawyers. How many lawyers do you think Citigroup has?
Oh, yeah.
Couple hundred at least in-house. So they probably had a lot of fun with that one. Let's throw out 0 to 2 million and see what happens.
What they do.
I actually do think that the public shaming is a little bit embarrassing for companies, more so than the legal battles or the fines that some of these companies. I think being called out does matter to some of them. You know, some of this is growing pains that you mentioned, but some of it is just flat out avoidance. I'm not sure those companies can be helped. The ones that are like, let's just take the jobs down and hire a staffing firm to find these people or just source these people. But sometimes government has to save business from itself. Yes, the capitalist is saying that. So more than half of job seekers said they have flat out declined a job offer after they found out the salary. That's according to a recent survey from our buddies at AdZuna.
Yeah.
What's more, another survey showed that over the last 5 years, U.S. workers have wasted 480 million hours applying for jobs with the wrong salary.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, salary transparency is not only good for people, it's also good for business. And I'm optimistic that at some point we'll get 90%+ of companies happily, willingly, voluntarily abiding by laws like the ones in New York City. Call me the eternal optimist, but I am optimistic.
Really hope so. I think it's going to take a couple of cracks from the bat first, and then they'll get moving.
Yep. Some shaming on social, some fines, some legal battles, and we'll see. But it is good for business. It is good for business.
It's
good for screening. It's good for retention. It's good for
treating people right is never a bad thing.
Yeah. Get with the program, people. All right, Chad, let's play a little buy or sell, one of our favorite games.
Yes.
You know how it works. We talk about three startups that have recently gotten money. We read a summary, and then you or I buy or sell that company. Are you ready to play a little buy or sell?
Let's do this.
All right, number one, we got Sparkplug. The San Francisco-based provider of an incentive management and wage supplementation platform for frontline workers has raised $8 million in a Series A round. This brings total invested to $11.5 million. Well-known media guy Jason Calacanis is an investor. The new money will go towards hiring key executive hires and making investments into data development and behavioral science expertise. The company works with more than 1,000 U.S. retailers and over 200 brand partners. Chad, are you buy or sell on Sparkplug?
I didn't have to go too far down the rabbit hole for this one after being in sales for my entire life. Sparkplug is a solution looking for a problem. A platform like Beekeeper would do more for an organization than Sparkplug does. Sparkplug is like a rat hitting a button for a pellet. And good to great salespeople, they're not motivated by the quick fix. So for me, quick message to the co-founders, Andrew and Jacob, if you want to understand what really make people tick, read Dan Pink's book, Drive. This one to me is a sell very easily.
Oh, I saw this one a little differently. Want to make essential workers feel really essential? Make them feel like part of the business. The platform gives frontline workers the ability to earn like owners by rewarding them with cash for every sale they make. The customizable incentive software also empowers brands and retailers to drive sales by mobilizing in-store employees to serve as influencers while delivering real-time campaign data to track and manage efficacy. The big question will be adoption. Will companies who think, we pay enough, forgo this as an option? Is it too complex to implement for most businesses? Aside from those issues, I think it has a lot of promise. I'm going to buy Spark Pack.
Earn like owners. You just drank the fucking Kool-Aid.
WorkTorch, the Wichita, Kansas-based startup, has raised $2.2 million in seed funding. Formerly known as Quick Hire, WorkTorch is a career discovery platform for the service economy workforce. The funding will support growth into new markets, including Chicago, Denver, Kansas City, Dallas, Nashville, and Atlanta. Led by two African-American sisters, the platform currently has a roster of over 40,000 service industry applicants actively looking for jobs. Chad, buy or sell WorkTorch?
So last week we talked about Quick, and that to me made complete and utter sense from Jump Street. But WorkTorch, is this a placement platform? Is it a career discovery platform? Is it a retention platform? I get that employers need all of those, but the messaging, especially in early startup mode, they're all over the board. The founders don't have any background in the recruiting and talent management space, but the timing is right for hospitality industry focused platforms like this. Another thing, was the rebrand from Quick Hire to WorkTorch really necessary at this point? It just feels like they're all over the place for me. I love the idea, mm-hmm. and I love the concepts they're pulling together here, but I cannot handle founders without focus, without discipline. So unfortunately, even though I like the aspects of this, it's just way all over the board and it's a sell.
Yeah, even their testimonials on the site still talk about Quick Hire instead of WorkTorch. So they need to do a little updating, and you mentioned focus as a thing. Look, it's a cute story. Shining a light on diversity-owned businesses and startups is important. I think that we do a good job of that here on the show. That said, I don't see anything here that gets me out of bed in the morning, if you know what I'm saying. Look, there's lots of competition, including some well-funded players who are already entrenched in this space. I don't think they're doing anything all that sexy or interesting. I'm extinguishing the light at WorkTorch. This is a sell for me as well.
It is very hard to get you out of bed, I would say. So, you know.
Come on, man. I said I'm extinguishing the work torch. That's good dad humor.
Good dad humor, yes.
All right, let's go to Five Men's or Minutes. The London-based digital upskilling platform has raised $5.7 million in U.S. dollars in a seed round for its micro-learning platform. Founded in 2021, the company uses social media techniques to train staff in education technology. It hosts employee training content that staff engage with in a similar way to how users engage with social media content. It is presented in a similar way to TikTok, using scrolling videos that are presented to users via a personalized algorithm. Are workers more likely to engage with and finish courses if presented in a way that mimics videos used for entertainment, i.e., big booty Latinas and bug fights? Chad, are you a buy or sell on Five Men's?
So if TikTok has taught us anything, it is that short, snackable content is addictive. Training content is usually boring and hard to get through. But if you can make that content snackable, then it's easier to get through. Not to mention, when you're chugging through one video, one short video after another, it feels like you've gotten through more, right? As opposed to sitting through an hour worth of boring fucking content. So, you know, if I were an L&D platform, I'd be contacting 5 minutes ASAP within the next 5 minutes, because this, yes, baby is a buy for me.
All right. Attention spans are dead. I remember my first job at McDonald's. They sat me down in a training room. They put in a VCR tape, and I had to watch like 8 hours over a couple of days of training videos.
It was so horrible.
It was awful.
Oh, God.
It was awful. Look, our pre-internet, pre-mobile brains are gone. Building an upskilling solution that's mobile first, TikTok-like, and video-centric is not only timely, but it's pretty brilliant. The name kind of blows. It'll be confused with 15.5, which is sort of in the same space as well. But for me, man, it's another buy. Mm-hmm. All right, that concludes another episode of Buy or Sell. When we get back, let's go to Sweden.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad, those nutty Swedes are back.
Gotta love them.
Straight out of Stockholm, the company that brought us the real-life digital recruiting robot head has pivoted to a more scalable model. Avatars, the new human-like Tingai avatar and candidate app, which Tingai says has a friendly appearance and human-like voice that candidates will like, provides on-demand access to an AI-powered interview process complete with efficient screening and assessing candidates' personality traits related to work performance. Chad, are you down with this pivot? Or are you going to miss the bald, plastic, creepy, androgynous digital face of Tingai?
First and foremost, Tingai was amazing. But this is about scale, scale, scale. The robot was literally the best way to get attention for their unbiased recruiting framework, which TNG has had for decades. But the robot could never scale. The avatar can scale. So I think what we're seeing here is that this, maybe some people will see it as a PR stunt, but it's an evolution, really. And when we were there in Sweden, I think it was back in 2019, you know, we had this discussion about scalability, maintaining, you know, the physical robots and those types of things and being able to move in this direction. And that was already on the roadmap. So to be able to see it actually come to, you know, fruition is pretty awesome.
Yeah. If the pandemic, where people don't want to talk to other people, or you want to have a physical robot interview people, if the pandemic didn't make the real life plastic head a thing, then nothing will. You know, scalability, repairing these things, like a total nightmare. So this is a good move, and one they probably had to make. But they get to go from a small pond where they're the only fish in the pond, mm-hmm, to a much bigger lake where they have some apex predators to deal with.
Yes.
The good news is TNG, their parent company and sugar daddy, can wheel out some big guns if necessary. Either way, it'll be fun to watch. And if this metaverse thing ever takes off, it could be a huge business opportunity for Tingai. Plus, talking about Tingai means we get to dance like the queens we are, Chad. We out.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses, and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.